From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, Praying for Ourselves to be Happy, Holy Christians, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, God First, Then Extras. The text is Matthew 6 and verse 33, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See how the Bible opens, In the beginning, God. Let your life open in the same way. Seek with your whole soul, first and foremost, the kingdom of God as the place of your citizenship, and His righteousness as the character of your life. As for the rest, it will come from the Lord Himself without your being anxious concerning it. All that is needful for this life and godliness shall be added unto you. What a promise this is! Food, raiment, home, and so forth, God undertakes to add to you while you seek Him. You mind His business, and He will mind yours. If you want paper and string, you get them given in when you buy more important goods. And just so, all that we need of earthly things, we shall have thrown in with the kingdom. He who is an heir of salvation shall not die of starvation. And he who clothes his soul with the righteousness of God cannot be left of the Lord with a naked body. Away with carking care. Set all your mind upon seeking the Lord. Covetousness is poverty, and anxiety is misery. Trust in God is an estate, and likeness to God is a heavenly inheritance. Lord, I seek Thee. Be found of me.
Death
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Having dealt with the first main division of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, Dr. Cairns now comes to the second division, which includes the words, Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. From our need for a sight of the glory and grace of God, the prayer now turns to the everyday concerns of life. As the Bible shows abundantly, God is concerned about the well-being of His people during their earthly lives. Far from embodying a lower spiritual tone, these petitions are intended to humble us by showing us ourselves and our inability to deal with everyday life in our own strength. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce a message, Prayer for Ourselves to Be Happy, Holy Christians.
Reading the words of what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Those of you who have been here for some time will know that we have spent that time going through the preamble to the Lord's Prayer and then the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, the invocation at the beginning, and then the first three of the great petitions of the prayer. We want to read the whole prayer this morning, and then especially pay attention to verse 11 through 13 as we take an overview of those verses. Verse 9, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious and inspired word for his name's sake. We come this morning to the second main division in the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. You remember that the first three were all concerned immediately with the Lord himself, with the Lord's glory, the Lord's kingdom, and the Lord's will. I have to confess that it is with a great degree of reluctance that I leave the first three petitions, because in my own personal devotions and my consideration of the Lord's Prayer, again, I must confess that those first three petitions normally say it all. And the more I think about them, the more they enter into my heart, the more I realize that they are so immense in their meaning and in their scope, that if one learns how to pray from the heart the contents of those petitions, he's learned to pray. But the Savior went on, and it is on his authority, therefore, that we come down, as it appears at least, to lesser things. But it's only an appearance. When you pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And then the very next petition is, "Give us this day our daily bread." Suddenly it appears you have dropped from the heights of heaven to the very mundane things of earth. And it appears that these things are really very insignificant in comparison to what's gone before. It hardly seems worthy of the Son of God to talk about this after the things that he has just been speaking about. But again, that's only a fleshly and a foolish impression. Here are three or four petitions. They deal with our temporal, material needs and with our spiritual needs. And far from being a great descent from the heights to the depths of insignificance, actually, you will find that it is in answering petitions like these that the Lord most clearly on earth glorifies his name, advances his kingdom, and does his perfect will. Because the more you think of it, the more you will realize that there is no greater, clearer testimony to the glory and the grace of God on this earth than contented, clean Christians. That's the greatest testimony the gospel has, you know. The great testimony of the gospel does not come from the learned apologist. It comes from the ordinary Christian living his life in a filthy world, in a world of avarice and selfishness, in a contented, clean way. There is nothing that the devil has in his entire arsenal that can destroy or even dent such a testimony. And I know nothing that will more bring honor and glory to the God of heaven. That's what these petitions then are all about. So I want us today to take an overview of them before we get into the actual details of the petitions, which may take some time, because there's a lot more than meets the eye when you start to study them. Before we get into the details, I want us to take an overview and see what the Savior's talking to us about. And I believe that as you look at these three, or as some people think, and I tend to agree, four petitions here, the Lord Jesus is teaching us about praying for ourselves to be happy and holy Christians. And considering these petitions, we'll see that they show us three simple but very far-reaching things. Consider them as a whole. One by one, look at them in an overview, and you'll find that to humble us, these petitions show us ourselves. As soon as we are brought by the Lord Jesus Christ to start praying for ourselves, what is the very first thing the Savior says? Praying for yourself, pray, give us this day our daily bread. And immediately, that tells you something about you and me. It shows us our personal poverty. You know, the most basic element in fallen human nature is pride. The very essence of the first sin that led our first parents into rebellion against God was pride. And ever since, the pride of flesh has raised itself in enmity and rebellion against God. The idea of self-sufficiency, the idea of personal ability, the resting in human merit or resting in human strength, that is the pride of the flesh. Now the Lord, throughout His Word, commands men and His own redeemed people particularly to bear responsibility and to labor hard for what they need. But through it all, He reminds men that we depend on Him for even our daily bread. You take a great nation like America, or a vast country like Canada. America and Canada can produce enough food any year to feed the entire world. America can stockpile enough wheat and corn and other necessities of life to feed the globe, and Canada can do the same. The European nations can do the same. They all have such surpluses. Science has advanced to such a degree that we think that man now can manipulate nature, as they call it, and they can produce just as much as they like. But that's folly. If it is not for the grace of God, America and Canada and Britain and Germany and France and all the great nations of the West would be reduced to the poverty and to the famine of an Ethiopia. It is God on whom we depend for our daily bread even. And as we as Christians come to pray,
This is the thing that the Lord Jesus is inculcating right at the very beginning of praying for ourselves. The lesson is that His blessing, can I say even the opening of His ear, is for the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And if you can cast your mind back to when we were studying the Beatitudes, the word poor is not those who are deprived. Those who have to labor very hard for the little they have. That's a different word entirely. The word here is the destitute. The people who recognize that apart from God and His grace, we are nothing and we have nothing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When the psalmist prayed, he cried, as the 86th Psalm tells us, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy." And you know, that's how to pray. I think one of the greatest weaknesses in the modern church is that we have reduced prayer to asking God to rubber stamp the already arrived at decisions of the flesh. We have our committees. We have our planning. We have this. We have that. We have the other thing. Many missionary societies now even have a database on a computer system that will select candidates for this field or that field or the other field. And they will say, by your training, by your education, by your disposition, by your health, by this, by that, you should go there. If there had been computers in the day of CT, study would never have made it to the mission field. The Holy Ghost does not lead us to pray, "Lord, put your rubber stamp on our decisions arrived at without God." Prayer brings us to the Lord empty, poor, and urgently needy. When a sinner first comes to Christ, how can he come? Unless he comes this way, he does not come. He makes a mockery of coming. And all the decisionism of modern churches that racks up numbers of converts on some other basis is but a figment of depraved imagination. How does a sinner come to Christ? "Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. I come poor, naked and needy, and I must find my sufficiency for salvation alone in Christ." That's the way a sinner comes. And when that sinner is saved by grace, he must always come on exactly the same basis. Not my merit, not my ability, not my strength, but Christ and Christ alone. So the first thing that these petitions teach us about ourselves is our poverty.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.